Hello and welcome to this Grace Baptist Mission Media Podcast. You're going to hear Serving Today, a program for pastors and church leaders. If you're involved in discipling others, or perhaps you teach the Bible one-to-one or in a small group, Serving Today will be relevant for a wide range of believers. Welcome to Serving Today, the program for leaders in the Church of Christ. I'm Andrew Cook. It's great to be together once more. Christian Basics, more on the living God. We're considering together the need for us to teach the basics of the Christian faith to new believers and those disciples of Christ who have had very little in the way of Bible teaching. In recent programs, here on Serving Today, we've been thinking about what we should teach others about the living God. We've already seen that the Bible teaches us God is very great. He's glorious and majestic and holy and awesome. He towers above us, for he is our creator and we are his creatures. We are so small, insignificant and frail, even at our very best, but God is so different from us. He's immense and infinite, and his power and understanding have no limit. He knows all things. He understands all things, and he has the strength to do whatever he wants. With this in mind, there are some very important questions that often occur in the hearts and minds of those who are new to the teaching of the Bible, and which we need to help them with. Questions such as these. How does God, who is so great, relate to men and women? Are we to be terrified of him? Are we able to approach God and yet live? Does he really have any interest in people as insignificant as us? Now, when you think of it, these are some of the most important questions we can ever ask. Well, with the help of Dr. John Hall again, and when Derek French spoke with John for us, he asked him what the Bible teaches us about these things.
God is very kind to us, as we've already seen. He stoops in his language to reveal how much he cares for his people. And he does it in terms of relating his relationship with his people to the relationships that they're already familiar with. And we're going to look at just two of them, fatherhood and a shepherd. Well, let's start out by looking at Malachi 2 and verse 10. Please read that to us, Derek.
Have we not all one father? Did not one God create us?
Now, God is a father to his people. And this relationship, truly as a father, only relates to people who are true believers, true Christians. You remember, the Lord Jesus Christ told his followers to pray, "Our Father." And this idea of God being a father to his people is warm and encouraging. He's everything the perfect father should be. He loves us, he cares for us, he protects us. And he even does what many fathers do, shares his wealth with us. He gives us an inheritance. So this idea of God being in a father-son relationship with his people is showing the personal way he relates to us. The next idea is of being a shepherd. Perhaps you could read to us from that familiar psalm, Psalm 23 and verse 1.
Yes, these are very well-known words, aren't they? And
yes.
David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want."
You see, a shepherd there is someone who again provides for his sheep, he protects them, he leads them, just as God does for his people. And in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd, again pointing to his deity. And as you ponder the idea of God as a shepherd having a relationship with human beings who are his sheep, are you one of God's sheep? You remember we've already quoted this verse, but Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me." God is only a shepherd to his sheep. He knows them with that predestinating love. And they show that they are known by God and that they are his sheep in that they listen to his word, the Bible, and they show they've listened by obeying it.
That's both a comfort and a challenge, isn't it?
It is indeed.
John, in his relationship with believers, what is God's response to those who follow and trust him?
God has characteristics now. We're coming on to his personal characteristics, which are tremendously encouraging for Christians. And this one is a lovely one that sustains the soul. It says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9, God, who called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. God is faithful. And the stress in the Greek is on that. Faithful is God, it says, which means he's trustworthy, reliable. He sticks with his people. He delivers his promises.
He's better than anyone else, isn't he, in that respect?
Well, that's right. He's both the power and the reliability to deliver what he has said.
John, does God's faithfulness mean that he doesn't change?
Well, perhaps you could read for us, Derek, James chapter 1 and verse 17.
Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. I've answered my own question by reading that verse in a way.
You have indeed. The shadows of the day change with the cloud and the position of the sun, but God is not like that. He's unchanging in his goodness and love towards his people. And so his faithfulness is unchanging. We say we're going to be faithful to another human being, but we can only be faithful while we live. But God never dies. Sometimes we promise to be faithful, but we lack the power to carry it out. We become ill or poor, but God never lacks the power to carry out his promises. So we can really trust him and be glad that he is faithful.
What do we know about God's knowledge of the events of our lives, and what effect should that have on how we live?
Well, God sees everything and knows everything about us. Perhaps you could read Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13 for us, Derek, please.
Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account.
Everything's uncovered and we have to give an account. Now, this is a warning to us. We'll have to give an account to God, who knows every thought, hears every word, sees every deed done and undone. We can never hide from God. Sometimes when a child wants to be disobedient to his parents, he goes and hides away and does it in secret because he knows it's wrong. We can never do that with God. And so this is very practical. It helps us avoid temptation and sinful action. God sees the books we read. He knows what we look at on the internet or the television. He listens to every conversation. And so God, knowing everything about us, makes us careful to avoid sin. And yet there's comfort here, as God, in spite of knowing the worst about us, has loved his people in Christ. And if you go on to read beyond verse 13 in Hebrews chapter 4, you'll see that in Christ he welcomes them into his presence and enables them to come before him, before the throne of grace, in their time of need, to pray to him. And so there's a comfort here. God knows the worst about us and yet has loved us and forgiven us in Christ if we're Christians.
As you were saying that, I was thinking of those words of the hymn writer John Newton, Amazing Grace.
It is indeed that God should so be gracious to such wicked rebels as we are.
Indeed. You mentioned there, or we mentioned from Hebrews 4:13, about the fact that we have to give an account. Linked with that, what do we know about God's attitude to things then, like justice and that which is right?
God, it says, loves justice and loves that which is right. Perhaps you could read to us what the psalmist writes in Psalm 99 and verse 4.
The king is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity. In Jacob you have done what is just and right.
It would be good for you to read the whole of Psalm 99. It speaks of God's might, his glory, his rule as a king. And as he rules as a king, he loves justice and he establishes fairness and rightness. And because God is like that, he wants to see the same qualities in our lives and in our communities. Because God is just, he wants to see justice and not corruption in the way we live.
John, I know really that we're sort of just dipping into different aspects of
That's
his character
right.
here to look at this, but something else that sort of comes to mind. When there are, as there often are in our lives, times when we need advice and guidance, how does God's character help us at such times, and what should we do?
Well, God is a God who knows everything. He knows all truth, all history, and he controls it. And so when we need help, we can go to God's word for help and guidance, because God is like what Isaiah the prophet said. Perhaps you could read this in Isaiah 28 and verse 29.
All this also comes from the Lord Almighty, wonderful in counsel and magnificent in wisdom.
See, he not only knows everything, but he's able to use that knowledge correctly. He's wise, magnificent in wisdom. And then his counsel and advice is the best you can find anywhere concerning the way to heaven, the way to live your life, the way to deal with problems. He's wonderful in counsel, unlike any other person that you can ever find. So go to his word and trust it.
We know from so many passages that in the Bible that God is a God of love. If you were to choose, say, one passage that demonstrated that in an outstanding way, what would your choice be?
You know, it's fascinating that we should be warmed with the idea that God is love and think that it is true. Because in this sad world, it's often difficult to believe that God is a God of love. There's war, there's famine, there's poverty, there's hatred in society and in family life. And all those sort of things spoil our lives and bring tremendous suffering, not just to mention sickness. One day when I was preaching evangelistically, a young woman stormed out of the meeting saying it's impossible to believe in a God of love. And I sympathised with her. And then I thought, well, why do you believe in a God of love, John? And then I thought, well, I can't understand some of the suffering in our world, but I do know that God loves the world because he sent his Son to die. He sent his Son to sort out the problems of the world. And so the one verse that I would speak about is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
We've seen some wonderful aspects of both God's character and the way he relates to every believer. The new Christian will be greatly helped if we take time to carefully teach them these things. Understanding how Almighty God delights to draw near to all who trust him will bring them untold benefits. Explaining his fatherly love and his careful shepherding of his children will comfort them in the many trials and testing times we all face in this life and fill them with the assured hope that heaven awaits us at the end. Knowing God delights to provide for and protect and lead his people will strengthen their faith and help them to remain faithful to him. The fact that God himself is totally reliable, always keeping his promises, will bring great reassurance to the new believer. It's true that God is to be feared, but not with dread and terror, but with a loving sense of awe and wonder, for he values and cares for every single one of his children and watches over us through our entire lives. Well, thank you for being with us here on Serving Today. Until next time, this is Andrew Cook saying goodbye, and may God bless you. Well, we hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission radio team. There are a number of ways to get in touch. Our email address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. Find us on Twitter at servingtodaygbm, or you can search our web catalogue at www.gbm.org.uk/radio. Thanks for listening and goodbye.